Welcome to the Two Principals Podcast, the ultimate destination for principals, leaders, and educators.
We're diving deep into the important stuff, the ups and downs of mental health, the secrets to managing stress effectively, figuring out that elusive work-life balance, and mastering the art of being an effective leader. So whether you're a principal, leader, a busy parent, educator, or someone on a mission to make a positive impact in the world, this podcast is for you.
The Two Principals Podcast, life and leadership talk inside and out. A better you makes for a better today. It starts with you.
All right, folks, here we are. There's Bob Driver. There's Kevin Jost. And I'm Jason Farris, and we are back. I always like when Bob Driver's on the show, Kevin. I always get fired up when he's on the show. So the executive director of MASSP, he's got all the knowledge. He's got everything. So
he was just talking about wearing his wig.
He wants to go back to the 1980s.
Be in the show. Welcome back, Mr. Cotter.
Well, thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah, we could get you. I mean, if you want a wig, I mean, we could take it out of the budget or something, couldn't we?
Yeah. Yep, big budget.
Big budget. We got a big budget for the Two Principals Pod here. Hey, what do you guys think about all the snow that we had, man? Did you guys shovel or anything like that?
I did.
Bob, do you shovel or do you make your wife do it?
Nope, I do all the shoveling. So, I mean, she'll shovel. I just go out there and do it. But yeah, so.
The frustrating part is when you, there were a few neighbors around here that just said, screw it. They haven't shoveled and they're just like, I'm just backing over it. I, on the other hand, obviously this week we're off. So I was out there, I shoveled like 3 or 4 times, but you know what? You get so frustrating, you shovel and then the god dang snowplow comes by and just blasts that thing at the end of your driveway. And then it's like super heavy and man,
I usually wait. I mean, if I can, I wait for the plow to go by.
I shovel, then the plow goes by, then we go back out and do the same thing again. So yeah.
I should have done my roof a little bit. I don't know if you guys do that. Jason, you probably don't because you're two-story or whatever, but I usually do my roof, and I should have because all that rain we got after the snow, and now I've got ice dams. Be a mess in the next few days when it starts melting, but whatever.
Yeah, we're supposed to be, I said, next week, 60s again. So 60. Yeah. There we go. We'll get the snow going well. Well, fellas, I wish you guys well on the show. I hope you guys have a remarkable show today. I'm just going to sit back and listen to you guys talk. So, hey, Kev, are you ready to go today?
I'm ready. Let's raise the frequency. Let's do it.
Hey, let's go spread some good out in the podcast universe. Hey, episode 2P68. Like I said, Bob Driver is back on the show today for his monthly appearance. Excited to be checking in with you today, wherever you're listening. You could be shoveling snow today. You could be cleaning out your basement. You could be making lunch or making dinner. Kevin, what else could they be doing?
Cutting a cantaloupe.
They could be cutting. Bob, what else could they be doing right now listening to the show?
They could be driving to the store.
Yeah, they could. There are all sorts of things you could do, but we appreciate you listening today. I'm Jason Parris.
I'm Kevin Jost.
Hey, and we are the Two Principals.
Hey, if this is your first time tuning into the 2P Pod, we appreciate you checking us out. If you are coming back, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in and taking time out of your busy day to sit down with us. Make sure to follow, subscribe, rate our show. We would love that. And ultimately, again, just thanks for sitting down with us today.
Yeah, we're two principals. We're in the trenches of the principalship every day. We hanging out, enjoying life, trying to get better at what we do. KJ and I are on our journey, and hopefully you are on your journey to a healthier and happier you, one step at a time, one conversation at a time. Kevin, tell the listeners about the Two Principals blog, store, website, social media accounts, all that good stuff.
It all starts at the website. Go to twoprinciples.com. You're going to find our blog, like you mentioned. It comes out every Sunday. Super short, super simple, nice, easy read. Great way to end your weekend as you're starting your new work week. We pick a topic each week and just throw some thoughts and resources out there on that topic. And then, like you said, the store, this is something very new. We've been working on this for a while, and it's only been open for a handful of days. And we just got a handful of different clothing items out there, some hoodies, T-shirts, hats, throwing some different phrases and inspirational messages kind of things on there. check that out. And then you're going to be able to find all of our social platforms as well at the top of the website there.
Awesome. 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 Yeah. We, like those that have been following us, listening to us, know that we talk about mental health, physical health, ways we can effectively manage our stress as school principals, and all in helping us become better leaders. And obviously, we understand the demands of both the professional side of things and our personal lives, because we really want to optimize our overall well-being. And that's why we have Bob Driver on the show. And that's why I like having this monthly episode with Bob, because we get a chance to really get into the nuts and bolts of the principalship. And hopefully, principals, you're finding value in this, and hopefully you are taking some of these strategies and some of these pieces of advice and all that stuff to heart. So, but before we get started, obviously, it's, I know, Bob, you really like this time. It's the random question of today's show. Kevin's favorite part of the show, because he's always like, what dumb question are you going to ask today? So, Bob, are you ready?
I'm ready. Bring it.
All right. Here's this episode's question. Would you rather have April showers every day for a month, or have nonstop April Fool's pranks pulled on you every day for a month?
Well, pulled on us.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So you're either gonna have April showers every day for the month, or you're going to have nonstop April Fool's pranks pulled on you every day for a month.
I'd go with rain. I don't mind the rain. And you need it in the spring, so I'm going to go with rain.
I am also going to go with the rain as well. We're going to probably cover pranks later in this episode. But, I just feel like if you have a prank every day, it just means that the creativity goes down every day. So there'd be some pretty interesting ones towards the end of the month. So I'm definitely going to go with rain as well. And April showers is different than rain. So a nice little shower to get the flowers gone would be great.
Yeah. I thought about this too. I think I'm going to be with you guys too. I would say April showers, that every day an April Fool's prank, and you don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know. That just doesn't, there's some people that think that's fun and all that stuff. And if you're out there and you're one of those people, good for you. But I'm going to also go with April showers. So, hey, appreciate everybody playing along on today's random question of the show. So, hey, let's introduce a topic today. Super excited, Bob. I like the topic. I like what we're going to be talking about: empowering our educational leaders, nurturing their growth through staff feedback, and looking at future planning, preparing for success. Again, it's all going to be about that staff feedback. What are some of the responsibilities when it comes to evaluation and the future actions?
So welcome to another monthly episode with MASP Executive Director Bob Driver. Like you said, Jason, on the Two Principles podcast, your go-to resource for insightful discussions on educational leadership. So in today's episode, like you said, we'll explore the pivotal role of school administrators in providing constructive staff feedback, fulfilling evaluation responsibilities, and strategically planning for the future. So as we navigate through the transitional period of the academic year, it's essential to lay the groundwork for a successful and productive school environment. So join us as we delve into the nuances of nurturing professional growth, fostering effective communication, and preparing for the upcoming challenges and opportunities.
All right. And so let's talk about April, right? What do we know about the principalship in April? Many of us have just come off of spring break, right? We've had a break. That break is, it's always good to have that break for the mind, body, spirit, and hopefully leaders, that you, when you do get an opportunity, that you do take that time to take care of yourself, because we need to make sure we're taking care of ourselves, because we want to keep in this profession and keep doing great things in this profession. But let's frame it. Let's put some clarity around the principalship. So in April, the principalship involves several crucial responsibilities for you as a school leader, educator, or principal. It is a natural time to finalize observation feedback for all staff members, address any concerns, and noting performance improvements. Principals should ensure that evaluations include specific performance goals and potential recommended training developed in consultation with the teachers or staff. Also, you need to review your evaluation responsibilities, including evaluating if you are a head principal, making sure you evaluate your assistant principals and other staff members in your building, and confirm the big one here. I call April, it's the testing schedule time. So make sure that you Have that secure, ready to go, and ensure any clear communication with your students and parents when it comes to that.
Additionally, principals should focus on personal performance goals and evaluations and sharing successes, challenges, and their vision for the school. They also need to engage in everyone's favorite, the master schedule work, confirming FTEs, reconciling with budgets, as well as planning for spring student transition / orientation events and preparing staffing information for human resources.
Yeah, and I'll just continue with that. One thing I first want to say is I know that Jason just talked a little bit about evaluating your assistant principals if you're a head principal. Just want to give a shout out to all our assistant principals. We are in the middle of National Assistant Principal Week. And so I just want to say thank you to all the assistant principals who do such a great job and have a lot on their plate each and every day. And they do a fantastic job for their schools. So I just want to say happy National Assistant Principal Week.
Hey, Bob, did you know that I have the best assistant principals in the whole entire universe at Rogers High School working with me?
They are right.
I have the best. They are absolutely phenomenal, and they make me look good. And I tell you, that's a big job to do. So I am grateful for the APs that I get a chance to work with every day. So yes, happy National Assistant Principals to all of you out there in the world.
Yeah. And the other, I think how I'd characterize April would be first impressions and lasting impressions. And we're going to get into that in a little bit and talk more so about that. But principals should anticipate staffing needs, prepare for interviewing and hiring, plan for summer school programs. I know summer school programs, some are successful, some are not. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Conducting walkthroughs of the building to make sure everything is physically working within the building, but also walkthroughs, just making sure you're getting into classrooms as well. Involve staff in budget planning. Make sure you're having a conversation with your department heads and talking about budget for next year while you're planning capital and making sure that you have the money you need to move forward next year. Coordinating textbook and technology orders. It's a critical time for principals to provide guidance, clarity, and support for their staff and to lay the foundation for a successful transition into next year's academic year.
And I think that's what always makes it the role that we are in a little challenging, right? Because you're still in the present trying to make sure you're taking care of the needs of right now. But honestly, you're spent, like you just said, Bob, there's a lot of stuff that you're preparing for the summer and the next academic year. So there's your feet are in different spots trying to make sure that goes. And hopefully what I would say is you've got some good systems and structures in place, and you really are utilizing, if you have assistant principals or deans or counselors or whatever, to make sure that you are all that smooth, the transition and all that stuff goes smooth. But Bob, we've got some questions. Kevin and I have about four questions here we want to ask you just about when we're talking April and we're talking about some of the things that we wanted to get clear on here. But the first question I have for you, Bob, what are some strategies that principals can employ to anticipate and address staffing needs? Because as Bob, and we all know this, it's a critical time right now to find people and to address. I don't care if it's trying to find a head principal position, trying to find an assistant principal position, trying to find a counseling, teaching position, assistant position. But what are some things that principals can do to that out for the upcoming school?
Well, I think this goes into first impressions and lasting impressions, because it's really hard to make some decisions and it's never easy. And you're going to have the most difficult conversations when it comes to resignations, or you have to let somebody go because of budget cuts. And so hopefully you've built strong relationships with all of your staff, or as much as you can. I know you have some schools have extremely large staff, but you have to make it a point to go out and be visible and have those conversations so you can have that strong relationship. Because the stronger relationship that you have, the more open communication that you can have. And then with those communications with the staff, you have a better understanding if staff are not happy, because sometimes you get these surprise resignations. And maybe they wouldn't be a surprise resignation if you knew a little bit more about the staff member and perhaps what they're going through. or on just kind of understood what was going on, maybe within a department in the school. So just making sure that you're building that communication with your staff members, your department head, making sure that they understand that you need some of this information to make valuable decisions later on. For staff reductions, you hope that district office is giving you those numbers early, because if you have them early enough, you can then maybe have the what if conversations. Well, let's try this, or maybe we change this this FTE to part-time, and try to keep and be creative about some of your either hires or your budget cuts. And it, some of the issue is if you do not have that early enough and your district doesn't provide you with the FTEs that you're going to lose until last minute, you're going to just make those quick cuts instead of maybe having a conversation with a variety of people and try to figure out what's best for the school based on having a little bit more time to make those decisions. So those can be tough. But you're always trying to find the best solution. And sometimes you can't find the best solution to keep everybody. And many of us have been in situations where we've had to make cuts, and those are hard conversations. And we talked last time about not renewing perhaps a probationary teacher and what goes with that. But the budget cuts are a little bit different. And those, sometimes your staff doesn't see it coming. And those are never easy conversations, even if you have a great relationship person.
Let's talk about the other side of the staffing process, and that's the hiring process. Talk to me about how school administrators can optimize their role in that whole process, establish sound protocol, and then really just creating a strong first impression. I mean, we've talked about it multiple times. Fewer and fewer people are seeking out these opportunities. So there's a lot of competition. Schools are vying for the same candidates all over the metro. How can administrators really optimize themselves and their district and their school in that process?
Yeah. And we're no different than any business that that has a metric or an equation, right? Supply and demand. I mean, that's mm-hmm. really what it comes down to. And right now, when I first started 25 years ago, there were 100 applicants for the job, for an English teaching job. Now that's not the case anymore. And so supply and demand dictates a lot of how schools go about their hiring process. Now, you have to make sure that if you know you're losing somebody and you need to hire somebody, you have to get that out right away. And you have to act fast and very quickly. And as you start the process, you need to move through quickly because candidates are getting offered jobs and with multiple interviews each week. So again, you have to, the supply and demand, you have to make sure that you're staying on top of your game. You have to sell your school more than you probably ever have had to do in the past. And I would say in the interview process, you need to create a strong impression. Make sure that you appear organized. Hopefully you are organized, but you need to appear organized. Yeah. starts with the first phone call to the candidate. You know, you might need to practice your phone calls to the candidate because you want to make sure that you have a first impression that's really strong when you start asking candidates to come to interviews at your school. Be clear and concise. Offer times that will work for them. And you know what? We're in situations now where we may have to make it work for them. Yes, the days of maybe we're only interviewing from this time to this time might not be the same. And so you have to figure out how to do that and kind of pivot on that piece. Might consider sending a follow-up confirmation email. Make sure that the candidate knows where to park, where the front door is, the door to entry, the office sign to look for, what doors are going to be going into school. Have somebody meet the candidates at the door, that they're going to be there some time, anywhere from a half an hour to 10 minutes prior to the interview. So have a student be a host. Consider having a host for your interview process. I think students at every level would be a great fit for that. I mean, you're kind of showing off your school. This is who we are. We're students first. And having a student there as kind of a student ambassador for your school is a great idea for interviewing. or being that host. In the interview, make sure that you're organized, kind of know who's going to be asking the questions. You go around the table in a typical interview, you don't want to be like, oh, all right, who's going to ask the next question? Make sure you have it. Either one person's asking all the questions or you go around the table, but you've done all of that prior to a candidate walking in the door so that you know everything that's going on when they walk in that door. Have questions that are going to reflect your values or you want to get those values out. And we talked a little bit about that last month, but just making sure that you're purposeful on writing your questions. What do you want to hear the candidate say? Question we used to use all the time was, from the time you made the decision to become a teacher until now, whether it be they were fifth grade and wanted to be a teacher, second grade wanted to be a teacher, they wanted to be a teacher starting in college, what has changed in the profession or based, what has changed in your head after going through either being at a different school or doing your student teaching? So what has changed? We just kind of wanted to know a little bit about how they've reflected on their excitement about being a teacher in fifth grade. What has changed in their mind to now? What is it like? Is it the same? Is it different? So just kind of for a reflection piece, but asking those kind of questions, navigate a situation, have a couple questions about kids walking down the hall, swears right in front of you to another student. How are you going to react to that? I mean, just a number of different scenarios, right? There's you're in the media center and a student is caught looking at somebody else's paper. How do you react to that? So just asking those type of questions and provide scenarios when you possibly can. I think that's important to do in an interview. Be clear at the conclusion of the interview. Obviously, you're going to want them to ask questions as well. Hopefully they've done homework on your school or your district, and they're going to ask you some questions too. You hope that they do. Stick to your timeline as much as possible. If you're saying, you know what, I'm going to be calling you on Friday. If you don't hear from me on Friday, none of the candidates have heard from me on Friday, and you'll hear from me on Monday. So kind of rest assured that if you don't hear from me, that nobody heard from me, and that we're going to make that decision then on Monday instead of Friday. So that you, and then stick to that timeline. Make sure you get your reference calls. If you get your reference calls done prior, especially in this market, you want to get as many reference calls done prior to them even walking through the door. So that maybe after interview and a couple hours later, after deliberating a little bit, you can make that call because you've already done your homework on those individuals. After the interview, maybe tour the building. Again, this is a great opportunity for a student ambassador to kind of show the school, and this is the English department, or this is the FIAD department, or whatever it is that they're interviewing for, plus some of the other areas that you want to show off your school. School pride is so important. It has to come through in your interview. And so every school has pride. Every school has their colors. Every school has what they feel is what makes them strong. So make sure that you share that piece with them. So that, those are some things that I would do.
I really like your suggestion about getting the reference calls done out of the way, because like you've mentioned, the market is changing. And so does that mean our practices needs to potentially start changing to adjust to that? And are we getting into a landscape where offers need to start being made, like you said, maybe a few hours after the interview? Because it's so tight in trying to get these candidates. And so I think that's a good tip.
Like, yeah, the other piece, Bob, is the culture, right? You really have to do a good job of selling your building, right? And just as much as we're interviewing staff members, they're interviewing us too. And I like your piece. Make sure you have some pieces of information you want to make sure you're getting out there. I know for me, anytime I'm interviewing, it starts right from the very beginning, the communication that they get for the interview to when they walk in, how they get treated when they get walked in and who sets them aside. Sometimes we give them a little so-called brochure of like, here's what's happening at Rogers High School. And then they come in and it's a whole process. And really, like you said too, they're going to feel it. And it's all, to me, it's culture, it's people. And how do you do that? And I just think it's so important that we're also positive, trying to sell people in on it. This is where you want to be. This is what you want to do. So I thought that was great. Great information there, Bob, which is going to take me into the next question here, because as we talk about, you've been talking about lasting impressions and all that stuff. Well, it's really important to have an impression with your custodial staff, your campus security, local police, parent groups. And really it's the communication piece, or as a school leader, why is it important for you as a principal to make sure you're meeting with custodians, if it's your campus security, if it's local police, if it's your parent groups, to discuss end of the year plans? Because a lot of us are preparing for end of the year stuff.
Yeah. Great question. We are hired as building principals to be stewards of those buildings. So our job is to make sure that we are doing what the community asked us to do. And that is to make sure that we're educating the students, to make sure that we're providing a safe environment for the students, that everyone has an opportunity to learn. And so that's a pretty large responsibility. And so when I say we're a steward of the building, we need to make sure that our schools are community schools. And so we have to understand the school community, and that is made up of every stakeholder. So whether it be parent groups or custodial staff or the kitchen staff, campus security, they are all part of our community. And so we need to make sure that we're all on the same page at the end of the day when it comes to just making sure that we don't shirk our responsibility when it comes to any of our responsibilities with the students, with the building. End of the year can be really stressful. There's a lot of moving parts. And so just making sure that our students understand what the expectations are from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, but really ramp the last quarter, the last trimester. It doesn't matter if it's eighth grade. It doesn't matter if it's seventh grade, eighth grade, wherever that transition is at the middle school or your seniors, they need to know what the expectations are. And a strong principal will relay those expectations to all the stakeholders. So not only will you have a conversation with the staff or with the students in the auditorium talking about, this is how we close out the school, this is what we do, that then you go out and you have your staff meeting and say, this is what we talked about with the students. These are the expectations we laid out. Invite them, if they're on a prep or something, to come down to that meeting with students and listen to hear what you're saying to the students. But then at the staff, they need to hear it too. And your SROs need to hear it. And a letter needs to go out to the parents to say, this is how we end the school. And these expectations will always be our expectations. And so you need to be in good standing with the school in order to graduate for the senior piece. But again, there's just a lot of moving parts at the end of the year. And there's a lot, you're being pulled as a building leader. Doesn't matter if you're the head principal or assistant principal, you're being pulled 100 different directions because there's a number of different things, as we just talked about, that are going on. Half your body is into next year already doing hiring and textbooks and technology and ordering and all those things. So you're getting pulled all over the place. And so you need to rely on everyone in that building to make sure that the kids, staff, and everyone are doing what they're supposed to be doing. So you want everybody on the same page. It really comes down to the theme of communication. I think that's been probably our number one theme since we've been together over the last few months, is just talking about the more you communicate, better it's going to be, the easier it's going to be.
And now a word about our partner, HealthWise Behavioral Health and Wellness. As a team of experienced licensed psychologists, clinical therapists, medical professionals, and mind-body practitioners, HealthWise offers a wide range of mental health services for individuals of all ages. HealthWise is grounded in a philosophy that considers the whole person. Located right here in Maple Grove, Minnesota, HealthWise is ready and able to assist you with becoming the best version of yourself. And now, back to the show.
I was going to ask you about, Jason kind of asked you about the why is it important, and I was going to ask you about the how to someone go through and implement that. But you kind of answered that. And really, yeah, you did a nice job highlighting the nuances of the end of the year with everyone is at a different point. I mean, you've got seniors that are, they're in a completely different world than the rest of the student body, and they need something specific. And you've got eighth graders coming in, they need something specific. And how do you accomplish all of that? It's definitely communication and making sure everybody's on the same page. So you did a nice job, I think, highlighting all the different moving parts, why communication is important, and then how do you establish that for the transition period that takes place at the end of the year. And it's, I mean, for me, everyone thinks about the beginning of the school year, but it's what's the science say? You always remember the first thing and the last thing and whatever it is. And so, man, I think the end of the year is really important. It does leave a lasting impression with students and families, and whether or not they're excited to come back in the fall. And it says a lot. I think it says a lot about the school and the culture. So that's good.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else, Bob, you'd want to add about that. Like when you're talking about farewells or transition ceremonies or anything like that. I know a lot at the high schools, we talk a lot about graduation and behavior and all that other stuff, but you talked a lot about making sure that you're communicating early and often in the spring. So I don't know if there's anything else you'd want to add to that.
Well, there's always that balance. Let's just take seniors, for instance. And we also, so we do a checklist for the April checklist. And today in the connections just came out for the MASSP newsletter, we also do a senior and commencement checklist, which also came out today as well. So you got to find that balance. The seniors have traditions that they've always done, and their brothers, sisters, friends have done it in the past. And so you have to try to find that balance of what's going to work in your school. And a lot of times you've dialed it in because you've been doing it for a long time. Seniors might come to you with a different request, a new request. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. You have to find that balance because you want to make a lasting impression with your seniors. What's interesting, you go to anywhere, it seems like, in the United States, and you start talking, have a conversation. Hey, I'm from Minnesota. Oh, I'm from Minnesota too. What high school did you go to? That's like the in the top three, four, five questions that are asked. Oh, and then do you know so-and-so who was my friend who went there too? So, I mean, we talk about it's your first 18 years of life, and it's part of your community. And so you want to make a lasting impression with your seniors as well. And you want it to be a strong lasting impression with your seniors. You want them to be proud. And I get it. There's a lot of things that students can struggle with going through high school. And not every student was in love with going to high school. I get that. I understand that. But what the interesting part is that we always refer back to that. And so those lasting impressions really help as they're moving out, graduating, going into either the military or enrolling or employment. So all of those prior to that, the lasting impression of your school. They want to create memories. I would say that I think I covered it in that last answer. But yeah, again, just communicating early and often. I think that's important.
Yep. I think it's great. I think that's great information there, Bob. And hopefully those questions that listeners out there, principals, spark something, or maybe you're thinking about maybe doing something different, or maybe it just cemented some of the things that you're currently doing and really say, yeah, I'm doing some good stuff. Let's get into some just really practical strategies. And so if you're a principal out there right now, Kevin, Bob, and I, we're going to just quickly go through, I think we've got six strategies that we think can help you navigate the month of April.
I'll lead off here. Let's talk about scheduling individual meetings with staff members in order to provide constructive feedback on their performance, address concerns like we've mentioned, and note areas for improvement. Encourage open communication and collaboration to support professional growth. So it's all about maintaining the quality of your staff.
Yeah, and kind of something that goes with that is review and confirm your evaluation responsibilities. Take time to review evaluation responsibilities. If you have to have a conversation with your superior to talk about, am I the person in charge of evaluating this person or not? You want to make sure that when you're on the same page with your supervisor to make sure that you have your specific performance goals taken care of. for the people that you're evaluating, plus that you have your specific performance goals are done and making sure that you've developed those, that you're ready for your evaluation if you're in that process. And then just to make sure that you're helping your teachers develop their goals and transition plans.
Yeah, that's really good. I want to talk about in April here. We've talked about this. We call it the testing month, right? In Minnesota here, we talk a lot about April, the testing month, but really make sure you're communicating your testing schedules and then also reviewing your school data. So there's two pieces here that I want to talk about. And I'm going to say double check, triple check, quadruple check that your testing schedule to ensure that it's clear, it's complete. I will say too, make sure whoever is running, I know there's multiple people usually behind the testing process. And I can just speak at Rogers High School. We just have amazing people doing this. I have all the trust and the faith, and they're continually coming to me. We have one counselor that will come to me and check in with me through that whole process to make sure things are complete. There's clear communication going out to staff and students and parents, so everybody kind of understands that. So make sure you can never communicate too much about that testing schedule. And then the piece that I want to add with it is, this is a good time too in April here to review your school data for maybe the end of the second trimester or midway through your second semester with your data team or your leadership team or your school improvement team, whatever you call that, and really kind of make adjustments for that kind of the final part of your semester, final part of the quarter, final part of the trimester, whatever it may be. So that will help set up these students for success next school year. I know. For us here, what we talk a lot about at the high school level is where our students at, because we talk a lot about credits. Students need credits in order to graduate. So we spend a lot of time throughout that whole year. Our focus right now is on all grades, but we really are diving into the seniors, making sure that they have all the requirements met and all that stuff that will get them set up. And then your younger, your classes, making sure that you're looking at their data that can help them propel them into the next school year.
That's good. Next piece I'm going to talk about is what we've already talked about, staffing, all things staffing, just making sure that you are anticipating the staffing need based on course requirements. That's the world that I'm living in right now, is taking a look at the numbers. The numbers are constantly changing. Are your numbers reflecting the actual FTE? You might find yourself in a situation when a building like ours, we're growing, right? And it seems like we're constantly growing. So are there going to be certain courses, certain sections that we're not going to have enough FTE of because our enrollment is going up? So making sure you're staying on top of it, communicating with the right people, if those are the situations that are happening, district level folks, HR, that kind of thing. And then just really, again, just staying on top of the numbers because, like I said, they change. I mean, our students registered in December and they change every week. So, just all things staffing, just keep it on your mind and just keep working at it.
Yeah. And the next piece that I want to cover is just talking about planning for summer school or credit recovery, and making sure that you kind of have a comprehensive program in place so that students are able to have credit recovery, provide dates and applications. Make sure you're providing that to students and parents, and ensure that the counselors are reaching out to students who might have a deficiency within their credits. And then secondly, transition and orientation days, making sure that you have everybody on the same page as you move students into your building, that you maybe have a transition day, orientation day within your school, and just making sure that all stakeholders are well informed. Again, goes back to communication, but create a program and create a system where the 7th, 8th graders come to the high school as they move into their next phases, the 5th and 6th graders moving into the middle school, and just making sure that you've got something in place for that.
That's great. Last one here that we'll wrap up with another practical strategy was just engage in the budget planning and allocation of your resources. So really make sure that you are involving and communicating to your staff what they may need. So I work with your head secretary, whoever that is, that's taking care of your budget. Make sure you understand where you are as a building and all your buckets of dollars there and what you need as far as departments. And then make sure you're communicating that out as far as what purchases can be made? Do they align to your, to the district, right? Your district strategic action plan. Do they align to your building goals? Do they align to student learning outcomes, and make sure that is in place? But when you're doing that, make sure you're working with your departments, your leadership team, your media specialists, district tech folks, that all of that stuff is in place so that orders are in at the right time. Because a lot of times, as far as budgets go, you always want to make sure that you're doing that in a right time so they can get ordered, so they can be in place for the following school year. And then also too, you're always talking about your budget and your dollars, if there's going to be rollover dollars, no rollover dollars, and making sure those dollars are spent. But the big piece there is, I would just make sure, A, you're looking at your bucket of money, and then it make sure that those purchases, again, are aligned to district building and those the student outcomes of really what needs to be taking place there. Because we always want to make sure we're putting resources in the hands of our staff so they can do great work. So if you have that, make sure you have a process for that and you're doing that and you understand where you are. Very important. And as Kevin and Bob and I just talked about, these are practical strategies that you as a school principal can help you effectively navigate the challenges of this and also the responsibilities that arise during the month of April. And again, hopefully, like Bob has been saying, it's setting the stage for a successful transition into the next academic school year. All right. We also want to really focus in on what we talk a lot about. It's culture. I mean, if you're not spending time every day on your building culture or climate as a principal, that is tough. And so we're going to be talking about what it looks like in April here. So in the month of April, what can you do as a principal to make sure you're building it and sustaining a positive culture and climate?
Yeah, I'll start with this. I would say that recognition and appreciation of the staff. I think that's so important. Take time to recognize, appreciate the hard work and dedication of your staff members. This can be done through a public acknowledgement, social media, personal notes, or small tokens of appreciation to show their gratitude. We talked a little bit about this last time. We also, coming up in the next month, we have Teacher Appreciation Week. Certainly have, like we talked about, Assistant Principal Appreciation Week. And one of the most important ones, April 24th, is Administrative Assistant Day. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're writing that down on your calendar right now, because you're going to want to make sure that you recognize your, whether it be secretary or assistant, admin assistant. So make sure that you are definitely recognizing the work of that person who's probably your right-hand person on many of the tasks that you're doing.
They run the school. Let's be serious here. They run the school. They do a great job. I'm gonna pipe in here with communication, making sure that you're fostering that environment of open communication, encouraging staff to share thoughts, concerns, ideas. How do you do that? Principals, you can have regular staff meetings, open forums, feedback sessions, surveys. There's all sorts of different ways, but ultimately the goal is making sure that your staff truly feel that they are heard and valued, and being transparent with communication and providing opportunities for communication is vital.
Absolutely. Great way to build and sustain that culture in your building with that. Another thing to talk about when you're talking about culture and climate and you're talking about April, and I know, Bob, this is a big one that we always, or you always, continually talk about, the professional development side of things, making sure that there's opportunities for professional development, for growth. This can include workshops, trainings, mentorship programs to support the ongoing learning and development of our staff members, because that is so crucial right now. We want to make sure we're providing our staff with the resources, training, all the support that they can get so they're going to be successful. Because if they're successful, A, it's going to be better for your whole building, and B, it's really good for the kids, but then it's good for them and we can keep that pipeline growing.
Yeah, I talked a little bit about recognition and appreciation for staff, but we also, obviously we're schools, so we value our students. And so we celebrate achievements for our students. So highlighting and celebrating achievements for students is extremely important. And a lot of that happens here towards the end of the school year. whether it's academic accomplishments. I know a lot of schools have programs at the end of the year to celebrate the accomplishments of their students academically, extracurricular successes. I know there are a lot of schools that do a three-sport athlete banquet, or they do a different type of extracurricular banquets, whether it be within fine arts or within athletics. So just personal milestones, just try to boost morale as much as you can and build that sense of pride within schools. That's what we keep talking about, just that building that pride within schools, your principals, but you're also all about branding too. So you're in advertising and branding and marketing, mm-hmm. because that's one of your jobs that you have to do each day.
Yep. Tying in with celebrating achievements, I think this ties in well, team building activities. As the school year kind of winds down, this seems to be the time of the year when staff get together outside of the school day. And whether that be getting together for a bite to eat after work or whatever. But I know we as a staff, there's certain things that we do towards the end of the year. And so we're starting to kind of put those plans together. And it's just, there's camaraderie when you're outside of the workday, you're outside of the building and you're bonding with these people that, I mean, kind of gone to battle with all year, right? And I think it's important to honor that. And when you create opportunities to connect with each other outside of the school day, outside of the building, I think it just really enhances and solidifies those relationships.
Absolutely. Culture. And these are strategies that you as a building principal, hopefully you are either doing right now or you've got some ideas here. And the last but not least thing that I would say when it comes to building culture and sustaining culture, make sure you're supporting the well-being of your staff. Pay attention to how they are doing. I know this is something that I learned a long time ago. I try to, as I'm going through the school year, the ups and downs and the times where you really feel stressed, what are some things that I can do to maybe help a staff member out? And I know sometimes it's a simple thing, but you know, maybe we bring in breakfast for the staff one morning just to say, hey, we really appreciate what you're doing. Come on up, grab some breakfast, talk a little bit about, again, building culture is about people connecting and strengthening those relationships, because when you have strengthened relationships within your staff, that's going to help build a positive culture. So again, pay attention to the well-being of your staff. Don't forget about them. It's April. Maybe there's some things you do for providing resources for stress management, and really just encourage. We talk a lot about it, but encourage that intentional self-care, getting folks to remember that they need to make sure they're taking care of themselves. And also making sure that you're telling them, hey, get out of the building, go home, go enjoy your family, go enjoy things that are going on in your personal life too, because that's important. Go do that. So support the well-being of your staff. And I think all those things that Kevin and Bob and I just talked about can help build and sustain culture. And that's what it's all about. You want to have a positive school culture. You want to have a positive place for morale, productivity, and the overall well-being of both your students and your staff. Let's go into, Bob, I always love when we have these conversations because I'm getting fired up again. Sometimes you go through and you just, but every time we have these conversations, Bob, I feel energized again because we're talking about practical strategies. We're talking about culture. We're talking about climate. We're talking about, now we're going to get into some mental health pieces, right? And how we can really help people really take care of themselves, because that's really at the end of the day, if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're going to be no good to anybody else. So let's spend some time here. I know some of these things we've talked about before, but I think when we're talking about April and we're wrapping up the school year, what are some things that principals can do to prioritize their own mental health?
Yeah, I'll get us started here. I'm going to talk about time management real quick. I'm prioritizing tasks. Make sure you're managing your workload effectively. Delegate when you can, when it's appropriate. Create realistic boundaries and a schedule to avoid feeling overwhelmed. There's a lot going on at this point of the year. Be realistic, set timelines, stick to it. Don't do it by yourself.
Yeah, and I think that's something that goes with that time management piece would be intentional self-care practices. I mean, incorporate some self-care practices within your daily routine. Whether it be some mindfulness, regular exercise, making sure you're sleeping. getting enough sleep. I know that was one of my biggest challenges when I was practicing principal, was just getting enough sleep. And I know I felt a lot better when I had more hours of sleep than not. Healthy eating habits, all of those, taking breaks. Many of you have hobbies. I'm a big pickleball player. I like to go out and hit the ball for an hour and take a mental break and just a break from everything else to play some pickleball, and I can come back and feel more refreshed. So just intentional self-care times.
Hey, Bob, do you also throw axes too? You're an axe thrower too?
I am an axe thrower as well. Yes.
Yeah, you are. So you do that. I did that last weekend. We were up north and we did some axe throwing. And so I had some fun with that again too. And so, yes, go find things that bring you joy. Go do them, because listen, when you're finding joy, when you're taking care of yourself, you're going to be better off. The third piece here I want to talk about is seek support. And Bob, you've talked about this is one of the big areas that I absolutely love that our organization is focused in on, is that principals have an opportunity, if they need to seek support, that our organization, MASSP, has provided up to two opportunities for them to go speak to a therapist. And I think that is so great, but that is a support system that I think is phenomenal for MASSP to have. But make sure, if you're not feeling right or something's not going right, pick up the phone. I don't care if you're calling HealthWise to set up that appointment, or you are calling another principal, or whatever you're doing, make sure you're seeking support, because they can help you. Sometimes it's just a listening ear, right? I know, Bob, sometimes I just pick up the phone and say, hey, Bob, what's going on? And I'm checking in with you sometimes, or I'm like, hey, Bob, I got to run something by you here. And you always provide that listening ear. And I always really appreciate that. But seek support from, again, like I said, it could be a professional counselor or therapist, or it could just be a friend. It could be a family member. It could be somebody. But make sure you're seeking support if you aren't feeling well.
Yeah, that's a good one. Next piece, reflect and recharge. And when I say reflect, I mean, be intentional about it. Like really, some people like to write. Some people like journal. Maybe it's you have a standing cup of coffee with a friend every week, whatever that might be. But reflect on your week, your month, reflect on the season, whatever that is. But really take time to think about what's going on in your life. And then the recharge piece. This was already kind of touched on a little bit, but find something that brings you joy, whether that be a hobby, whether that be specific activity. I don't care what it is, but find something that brings you joy and make sure you are spending time doing it.
Yeah. And it kind of what the, as we move through this, the same themes, boundaries and communication. Set boundaries and communicate effectively with the staff and share with them that there's going to be certain times where I may not be available, or I might need a little break, or I need a little personal time. So respect that, because you in turn want to make sure that you're doing that for your staff as well. So continually figure out through communication how to manage expectations. And the only person that can do that would be you as a building leader, is setting those expectations about boundaries, because there's times when your staff, they don't want to be reached by you either. So you need to have clear expectations when communication is appropriate and not appropriate. I mean, obviously, if there's an emergency or there is a sense of urgency or to something, then of course you need to be communicated to or with, but there's also times when you need some downtime and some personal time.
Absolutely. I know the last one here I want to share is professional development. I know up in the, when we talked about the ways to build and sustain culture, we talked about from a staff, making sure you have opportunities for your staff for professional development. This is specifically for yourself. Make sure you are seeking out opportunities that maybe it's a professional development opportunity on stress management. Maybe it's enhancing your leadership skills. Maybe it's a mental health piece that you're going to go do, but that continuous learning. Maybe it's a podcast. Maybe it's a magazine or an article. Whatever it may be, make sure you're continuously learning and growing so you can continually feel more empowered and build your resilience at the end of the day. And these are fantastic mental health strategies that Bob, Kevin, and I talked about. But you as a principal, if you're taking proactive steps to prioritize your mental health, you're going to be able to lead better, and you're going to increase your well-being, your resilience, and your effectiveness in your leadership role. Bob, really quick, Can you talk to the listeners out there? Are there any professional, as we just talked about professional development, are there any professional development or growth opportunities for school leaders as they look to April here?
Yeah, there's always some opportunities within on our website, but the one coming up sooner than later is on April 17th, we have a student handbook workshop where we'll have Roger Aronson speaking about what things you need to have within your student handbook, along with Terry Morrow from MSBA, which is a school board association, and Eric Martins from the high school league. So that's coming up in April, so not a couple weeks away from now. Also, we have our summer conference, which we just sent out information regarding registration. So we're moving through that. I would also include that there's some PD for your administrative assistant. We just talked about its administrative assistant day coming up on April 24th. So there's some PD for in a conference coming up in July for that group. So what a great gift you could do is by signing them up for that conference in July. You can get on our website and see a little bit more about that. Patty and Renee will send information to all the principals as well. And then some student leadership as we move forward here too. In a couple of weeks, we've got the leadership, state leadership, student leadership conference as well. So there's a lot coming up. And as always, I know that there are other PDs out there. So utilize those other PDs. And we're not concerned where you get the PD. We hope that you utilize some of the things that we're doing, obviously, but the goal is just to get better and to become a better leader. And there's a number of ways to do that and a number of opportunities to do that. So a lot of organizations in Minnesota that are doing a great job of offering PD.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Hey, let's wrap this show up today. Again, I appreciate Bob. Appreciate you being here, Kevin. I always appreciate your time. So let's just share with the listeners, what's one piece of advice that you have for the principals, leaders, educators out there in navigating the month of April?
Anybody want to go first?
I can start.
I'll jump in. Go ahead, Bob.
We just find some humor in things. The job, like we just talked about, there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things are happening and you're being pulled all over the place. But there's a lot of really fun and cool, interesting things that happen each and every day. Working with students is fun. And you just, some days you just never know what's going to run across your plate. Could be an iguana in a backpack and you're like, okay, I got to figure that out today. I've never had that. So let's figure that out. And then at the end of the day, after you take care of that situation, laugh about it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Laugh and enjoy that, because I think as principals of middle school and high school, we see things every day that many people, when they go to work, never would even imagine. And so just enjoy April, enjoy your job, smile, have a little humor, take some things lightheartedly. There's a lot of seriousness to our job. We get that. We understand that. But there should also be some fun too.
That's a good one. That's a good one. It's actually, you kind of actually took what I was going to say. I was going to say, try to find the joy, but I'll transition to something different. It's kind of what I talked about earlier. Make sure you're not doing this alone. Like I said, you can get really wrapped up in all the tasks that need to get done and you can feel overwhelmed and you can feel like it's very easy to get to the point where you feel like you need to do it all yourself. Utilize your resources, utilize your team. This job cannot be done by a single person, and just make sure you remember that in the month of April and understand that you got a couple of months left. Utilize the supports, the resources, the people that are in place, and really do a good job of that.
You guys nailed it, man. I sit here and I was like, Bob kind of took what I was going to say. Kevin, you jumped in another one. Going last, I don't know if that's a good thing, but here's what I'd say just to kind of maybe recap this whole thing is, Bob, and you kind of started and you alluded with this, is for me, this is going to be my challenge. I know you can get really busy in April, but jump in the classrooms, see what's going on, sit down at a lunch table, talk to the kids, see what's going on, because that's where we're in this business, right? We're in the business for the kids, we're in the business for the staff. Also, just check in with staff too, ask them how they're doing. Don't even bring up the whole stuff with work stuff. Just ask about how their family's doing or what they're doing for fun. Just remember that piece of it, enjoy that piece of it. And like both of you said, just enjoy. We have a great job. We get an opportunity every day to do something so cool. And let's not forget that piece of it. So just super, like I said, I enjoy having time with you guys. And I enjoy the job that we get to do every day. Just have fun with it, like both of you said. Hey, as we conclude this episode of the Two Principles podcast, we hope that the insights shared have provided valuable guidance for you as a school leader in navigating the challenges and responsibilities of the month of April by focusing on constructive staff feedback, evaluation responsibilities, and strategic planning. Principals can lay the groundwork for a successful transition into the next academic school year.
And remember, as educational leaders, prioritizing your own well-being is essential for sustaining a positive school culture and climate. By implementing practical strategies and seeking support, principals can foster a healthy work-life balance and lead by example in promoting mental health awareness.
We encourage you to reflect on the strategies discussed and consider how you can integrate them into your leadership approach. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to continuing this journey of professional growth and educational leadership. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we will dive into more essential topics for school leaders. Until next time, take care and keep living and leading with purpose. And remember, it all starts with you.